T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Yeah, I mean, the different ranking systems that we have, one of them is really just based upon simply trailing strength of the teams that they've won or lost to. A lot of that is also part of the quarterback equation, and I think there's been a difference of opinion, you could say, gently between what some people, they were higher on Josh Allen than what we are on Josh Allen. And I think how he's played this season has been pretty much in line with what we expected. And last year he was doing a lot with his legs, especially scrambling, as opposed to design run scrambling, and we've just not seen that as much this year. So the offense has been down.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Kevin Cole on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Good morning. It is 7:06. I got to be honest, this radio rewind thing is going to put my brain in a pretzel because
it's amazing. It is basically a DVR for your radio,
yes,
for your app. That's
yes.
What it is. It's a DVR for radio and for your app. And by the way, it's not just the app, everyone. You can go online. WGR550.com. When you click listen live, you can also pause, stop, rewind the show, listen to something. You can go back a minute in time. If you missed something stupid Jeremy said, you can go back and say, why did Jeremy say something so stupid? I have to re-listen to that to make
right,
sure he did.
Right. And it's going to add to the number of emails, texts, tweets that we get that say, 37. Like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, sorry, I'm an hour behind you guys. I was answering your question. Sometimes we get answers that aren't exactly in real time. And now, with the ability to rewind and listen in real time, but just 20 minutes early or whatever.
You know who's really excited about Radio.com Rewind feature? Guys like John Simon and Brayton, who constantly get barraged with, why is this not on demand yet? You just had the guy on. Put it on demand. 5 minutes later. Don't worry about it. Just rewind 5 minutes. You got it.
803-0550 is the number. Join us. So here's a Twitter poll that we've got for you and a conversation we're having about. It's a football conversation because we've seen the Ravens ad. We've seen the Rams ad, and as the deadline approaches, it just kind of feels like football is moving to more of an NHL-style trade deadline where guys get moved. So the question is, should the Bills be approaching the trade deadline in any sort of go-for-it mode? And I don't want to say, whatever, there's a lot of follow-up questions that come with it, but should they go for it here? They are 4-1. The AFC looks like it could be taken to some degree, right? It looks not exactly wide open, Sal, but it looks like there are 5 teams in the AFC that might be able to lay claim to winning it. The Patriots, of course, the favorite. The Texans and Chiefs are there, and the Bills are in that conversation. You know, I've kind of settled into a spot where, with the Bills, I don't want to write off anything for them this year, because if your defense is as good as it has looked to this point, there's really no telling how far they could go with it. So then the question becomes, should they add? Should they go for it? And your options are yes, all in, YOLO. That's one option. YOLO, do it. Just go for it. Trade for A.J. Green. Trade for Von Miller. Marcel Louis-Jacques mentioned him by name last week or maybe earlier this week. Von Miller. That's one option. Yes, go for it. The other is add without trading a first-round pick. And the final choice is nah, stay the course. So you can vote in the Twitter poll. You can comment. You can call. You can text. All those avenues to reach out to us are available. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. 60%, I'll just add these two together. 85% want the Bills to add. 60% saying without trading a first. But 85%, go ahead and add. And I think I'm in that spot too. I'd be very, very interested in hearing what conversations they might have, if receiver is on the list of things they would add. If they could add a receiver and a really good one without parting with a first-round pick, I mean, to me, that'd be a slam dunk, but you might have to give up first-round pick if you want to get A.J. Green, or if you want to, I mean, Stephon Diggs, that ship might have sailed, but I'd be all about getting a true outside threat at receiver. I think John Brown's a nice player, but one more. I would be all about it. And I do think they will add something. Do you think they'll add something, Sal? Without saying what it is, if it's another cornerback for a fourth-round pick or another linebacker because Milano's hamstring is a problem for a couple of weeks. I don't know it's necessarily an injury issue, but I do think that they will add something because, I mean, Brandon Bean's been pretty active throughout his time here, and so has Sean McDermott when he's, you know, even with Doug Whaley for that little bit of time. But it feels like they're active, and it feels like they will maybe add a piece.
Yeah, they probably – they'll do a real – you know, hard assessment of their team. They probably did that during the bye week and figured, where are we deficient? What do we need? And I would not be surprised. If I had to wager money on if there will be a trade of some sort by the Bills, I think the odds for me would be yes. I would probably do it that. I would say they are going to make one. I still don't see them making some sort of move that gives away a first or second round pick. I think third round pick is probably the ceiling for them. And I don't know, and here's the question, what type of player could they bring in? Like, what would they be looking for? I think wide receiver is the first thing we get to. Beyond that, is there something that they could say, you know what, we need a little help in this area?
The offensive line?
Maybe another swing tackle. So, they did lose Connor McDermott when they released him. He was signed. He was claimed by the Jets. I think that would be the only
one more piece.
Yeah, maybe that would be it. I think wide receiver or offensive line would be the two areas I could see them maybe looking for an upgrade.
Just because...
an addition, I should say.
Right. In the same way that when you're an NHL team, you add another defenseman because, you know, you get injuries in the playoffs and you decide, we'll get a little bit more depth back there. Not mentioning the 06 Sabres, but you know what I'm saying. Teams do that. They'll just add one more piece to kind of help the depth defenseman group. So maybe the Bills do that. They decide, let's just add to our offensive line group because we might run into injuries. Maybe that guy never plays and maybe you only gave up a fifth-round pick. But, you know, they've added a number of assets in the course of the last... You went through this. What's their most recent trade that brought them a draft pick? Zay Jones, right. So, Zay Jones gets traded for a fifth. And the Bills are not exactly flush in the way that Miami is, or Oakland has been, or who else is really stockpiling picks? The, Who?
Jacksonville?
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I was thinking, who'd the Rams, yeah. Who'd the Rams just
yeah.
trade with?
Jacksonville.
I need Radio Rewind to remind me. So, you know, the Bills aren't exactly flush in that way, but they do have a number of assets. They have a good chunk to work with. They could just peddle off the fifth they got for Zay Jones for, you know, that lineman help or that maybe defensive line addition just because you fear injuries at some point along the way. But I do think they should be in some sort of go-for-it mode. Why not? You know, it's not always about mortgaging the future. That's a term that people will use. There are probably some prudent trades out there that Brandon Bean could strike. And I think by, you know, 2 weeks from now, I think we have one. Just my hunch.
I think, you know, these guys are always on the lookout. We've seen that. And it always seems like there's a trade or someone gets dealt that people didn't think about. That could be what we're looking at. Maybe there's a team out there that has a situation where they're like, you know what? You know, we know we're not going to go any further. Maybe they have a guy that doesn't necessarily fit into their plans, or the Bills say, hey, you know, we can give you a third or fourth round pick for him, and he comes in and he can help them out. That's the kind of deal. I mean, who really thought that the Panthers were going to trade Kelvin Benjamin? No one did. He was never a guy considered on the trade market, so to speak. I don't think Zay Jones came out of left field. People knew that maybe the Bills might be looking to move on from him. I don't think Marcell Dareus a few years came out of left field. We knew that the Bills might be looking to move on from him. We just didn't know if anybody would be willing to take on his salary. That happened. But I think in this situation, the names get thrown out to me. A.J. Green, I don't think Stephon Diggs anymore. Those aren't really the guys I see. It's more of, hey, they made a deal for a guy that you didn't really think about here that a team is willing to part with because he's not in their future plans, and maybe it does help out the receiving core. Maybe it does help out the offensive line. That would be the two areas I think that they could take a look at.
803-0550 to join us and 1-888-550-2550. So how good do we think they are? There's a lot of conversation about the top of the AFC, right? And the Patriots always get mentioned. The Chiefs usually get mentioned. The Texans have now jumped into that conversation. And then it's the Bills, right? And could you make a case that the Bills are better than either one of those teams, the Chiefs or the Texans? They're certainly different, built differently. Those two teams are run by their offense, and the Bills are, of course, run by their defense. So, how good are they? You know, are they a top four AFC team. The Colts, I guess the Colts deserve to get mentioned here as well.
I listen to, I know a lot of you hate, you know, Colin Cowherd. I actually like to listen to Colin, and he does his herd hierarchy every week, which is power rankings. And I like to do that because I like outside perspectives. Mm-hmm. What do some people think? And he's never been high in the Bills, but he has been this year. He likes their coaching staff and things like that. But what struck me yesterday was he did his power rankings, and I'm interested in see where some of the power rankings land today from some of the outside perspectives. Of course, they mean a hill of beans. They don't mean anything. But it's just interesting for me to get other people's feel and takes and thoughts about the Bills and the league from outside here. And
I think it shows you how much currency they've earned.
He has the Bills at 8. He had the Chiefs at 9. And that's what I thought was interesting. Yeah. So I think a lot of people are thinking about right now, you know, and by the way, Texans seem to be shooting up everybody's board after that win. They seem to be now the consensus number two team in the AFC by a lot of people.
Because Deshaun Watson's playing out of his mind.
Right. And you go to Kansas City and win. That's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't beat him in Texas. They beat him in Kansas City.
Yeah, the Chiefs have lost two in a row at home.
That's right.
Colts and
right.
Texans.
The Colts are a team that I think we're trending that way. Suddenly, boom, they lose to the Raiders. Like, what happened there? Yeah, that's...
Are the Raiders good?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It would be funny. Because the Raiders, you know, Gruden shows up and he's a bit of a cartoon character. But they might be okay. They're 3-2. They, what, have a shot at the division, a shot at the wild card for sure. You know, the Raiders, I think we expected them. It's kind of like the like a preseason poll, right? The preseason top 25. They would have been unranked, so it's harder for them to get too much credit. Maybe the Bills are in this spot too, right? The Chiefs are your preseason number one. They lose two games, so they're number 7. And the Bills, who are preseason outside the top 25, have only risen to number 8 right now, even though they might be better. What you think about the team before kind of shapes a lot of where you are this early in the season. And the Raiders, we thought they'd be a joke. And they're not. You know,
I agree.
They've got good wins. They've got tough losses. They are, I'm not ready to say they're good, but I don't think, at least the way that it looks right now, Sal, I don't think people are laughing at John Gruden because he looks like he's put together. They've got a game at Green Bay.
Like, yep. If you look at their schedule, though, you could see, like, I don't know how I can get them in. Like, think about the playoffs.
It's too tough.
They have some tough games.
The division's tough. They play the Texans again. They play the Lions, who are no pushover these days. Yeah, you've got a bit of a tough road for the Raiders, but I think it's safe to say they're not a joke. Maybe John Gruden does know a little bit what he's talking about. Boy, the Raiders have a murderous schedule. Wow. Even the Jaguars, who are decent. They don't have any cupcakes, it looks like, coming up. Unless you consider the Chargers one of those.
The Chargers are a team that has to reset a little bit, right? I mean, but the question is, do they reset at quarterback? Are they in a situation where they need to move on and think about the future now after Phillip Rivers, because it doesn't look like they're going to make any noise this year. And they do have a quarterback entering the twilight of his career, even though he's still playing well. I still think Phillip Rivers is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. So you can make the argument no, but at some point, you know, you have to make that transition. And I wonder if that point comes maybe as soon as after this year, meaning they're invested in maybe a first-round quarterback.
803-0550.
Do you know what the current NFL draft order looks like?
Ooh, I would say that the first pick belongs to Washington.
No, remember, they won.
Oh, they beat Miami. Yes. So Miami's first.
No.
Who else is winless?
There is a team 0-6.
Why don't I know the other winless team?
It's the team the Bills beat in their home opener.
The Bengals.
Yes.
Are 0-6.
And they have the right now, and the Dolphins are 0-5. The Bengals are 0-6. The Bengals have the number one pick right now in the NFL draft. Now, here's
Are they the best 0-6 team ever?
Because they're not horrible. They have some talent.
That kind of reminds me of when the Bills went 0-8 and finished 4-12. They were bad, but they were in a lot of games. They were not any sort of – it wasn't Miami's 0-6.
No. And so Miami's done all of this work to get to the first pick, right? I mean, that's what they've done. And the general consensus is they're going to take Tua. I mean, I don't know. They could evaluate the quarterbacks and decide to go Justin Herbert or someone else, right? But this is the consensus. Look, Cincinnati, to me, is going to take a quarterback if they're sitting in the top of the draft. So I wonder if suddenly Cincinnati could basically steal the number one overall pick away from Miami. I can't see it.
There's no way.
Still have to lose 11 more games because Miami could go winless. I don't know if they're going to. They could. But Cincinnati is 0-6, and if for somehow, some way, Cincinnati got that number one pick, would the tank job by the Dolphins be looked at as a failure?
On some level, but you know, if they turn it around and win, then they'll be fine. I'm sure people would say that.
Because you could still make the argument, well, yeah, but they'll still get the number one pick. They have so much ammunition. Not if Cincinnati wants to draft Tua. I mean, That's the guy they want. They're not going to give up the pick.
There's another guy, though. Not Herbert. There's a third guy, and it's not Jake Fromm, who's been bad, who's had his struggles this
year. Not Hurts, right?
No, I saw another name.
Is it the Washington State quarterback?
Maybe. A riser like Daniel Jones. Like, wow, this guy all of a sudden could be on the radar of these teams that are drafting high. And I forget.
Washington State. I know who you're talking
Joe
about.
Joe Burrow is the guy.
Well, LSU.
Joe Burrow. That maybe, you know, 78% of his passes completed this year, 22 touchdowns, 3 picks. That all of a sudden, Joe Burrow has made an impression on some people, and maybe that guy could get up to the top.
I mean, what about Jordan Love, I think, is Utah State. Okay. That's the guy I'm thinking of, too. Jordan Love is getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're Miami and you have the number two pick, do you trade to Cincinnati? I mean, it's just not going to be close. I can't get there. Cincinnati's got to play a number. Don't they play Miami? Or do they not cross over?
They do not with the Dolphins. I'm going to look at their schedule right now to make sure. But because who finished in last year? Because did Miami finish in last? No, the Jets did. That's why there's not the crossover there.
The Bengals will get a win or two. They'll be fine.
The Bengals have the Jags.
The Jets are on the
Rams,
schedule. The Steelers are there.
The Ravens, the Raiders, the Steelers, the Jets, the Browns twice, the Patriots. They do play. That's right.
They play the Dolphins?
Week 16. Is that Tank Bowl?
No.
Is that Tank Bowl?
Cincinnati will have 3 wins by then. Cincinnati could beat Jacksonville this week.
They could.
I don't think Cincinnati is close to the 0. I'm doing it. I'm saying that it's a team that's better than their record. But I think they are. I mean, you watch them against the Bills. The Bills are 4-1. The Bengals are 0-6. And the teams are not that far apart. Right? I mean, it took till the final drive of the game to shut down Cincinnati.
Yes.
It's a league where you can have teams that
They lost by a touchdown at the Ravens last week. They lost by 3 points to the Cardinals, but that's still a bad loss for me. They lost by 1 point at Seattle to open the season. Like, at that point, I'm like, ooh, Cincinnati might be pretty good.
Yeah.
But 1 point.
803-0550 to join us. Texter writes in, we play the AFC North. Well, yeah, I know that. I was trying to figure out if it was the crossover game, but the crossover games are the AFC West and the AFC South, Tennessee. Tennessee and for the Bills, it's Denver.
Yeah, sorry. People tell me, yes, of course. Now I see it. Now I see it that they do play Week 16. Some of you are already on top of that. I appreciate that. That Week 16 is the week that the Bills might have to play on Saturday. And I still think, and by the way, that decision has to come in 2 weeks. You cannot wait until Week 13 or so to decide if the Bills are getting flexed to Saturday in Week 16. The way it works is there are 5 games, 3 of them, 3 of 5 games are going to be played on Saturday. The Bills are in that mix. They're one of the 5 to choose from. On Saturday, December 21st, instead of Sunday, December 22nd, in New England. And that decision on which games has to be made in 2 weeks, Jeremy, after Week 8. So if the Bills, even if they could split Miami and Philly, and they're at 5-2, I think that's still a very plausible chance that they get moved to play New England on Saturday that week at a national audience.
I bet they go to the night game. I bet.
And then it would be either a 1 or a 4 or a prime time, basically.
Yeah, I bet it's a night game.
There's a West Coast game in there that could
be
a night
game,
too.
That's true, yeah. 803-0550 is our phone number. So the Washington Nationals on to the World Series. Good for them. Do you feel bad for Bryce Harper on a day like today at all? Do you feel any sort of, I don't know, you think he feels regret for leaving them? The one thing, I'll tell you what I feel about it, because sometimes this happens in sports. A guy leaves a team and then the team has success and, you know, can immediately be tied to, well, him leaving helped them. You know, they were good when he was there. Sometimes in the postseason, Billy Beane, you know, GM of the Moneyball guy, used to say, GM gets you to the playoffs, and then it's a crapshoot. Sometimes you have a better crapshoot, and it's not to say that they're not better without Harper, but they got off to a terrible start this year, Washington. They turned it around. They're on to the World Series for the first time. That's a beautiful stadium. It's a fun stadium to go to. I will have a rooting interest in the World Series. I will definitely root for the Nationals to beat, the Yankees. And if it's the Astros, the Astros won a couple years ago, so I'll be all in. Good for the Nats. They got the big giant presidents running around the stadium, which is really fun. You just walk in and see a 8-foot-tall Taft. You give a little double take when you see the 8-foot-tall presidents, but it's cool. So good for the Nationals. All right, 803-0550. We're going to bring in some of Ralph Krueger's comments from Monday. He normally joins us on a Wednesday. We'll talk with him. So we'll play some of that back, what he had to say on Monday about this upcoming road trip. Sabres after dark tonight. 10 o'clock faceoff, Anaheim. Likely no Montour and no Brendan Gooley, which means the two guys that were traded for each other, not just Montour is out. Gooley might not go tonight either. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It must be counterbalanced, though, by the fact that there are many, many players in that locker room that have to feel like they're getting dozens and dozens of snaps in NFL games that they otherwise never would. I mean, you run through some of the names on this roster, and there are not players that would be playing for other NFL teams that would be playing for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. They get to play by virtue of the fact that they're on the Dolphins, and maybe one or two of them can emerge from that pack and end up being either part of the Dolphins or part of another NFL team.
Chris Winningham of WQAM, the Dolphins. The Bills are huge favorites, 16.5-point favorites. It opened up at a 16.5-point line, which is a little bit about the Bills, and I think it's a lot about the Dolphins because every team that's played the Dolphins has been favored by, 10-plus, maybe outside of their opener. So Miami is bad.
16.5-point favorites. The last time the Bills were 16.5-point favorites, December of 1992, they lost the game to the Jets.
Do you remember that game?
It was the game after Dennis Byrd was injured, and the Jets had a big rallying cry. A few Twitter followers noted this to me, and I forgot about that, but that was the kind of like they were playing for Dennis Byrd kind of thing. They used that emotion they fed off of. The Bills had a couple of games like that in those Super Bowl years where they were huge favorites and lost. In fact, the last two times the Bills were favored by this many points, they lost the game on the field. Just so you know.
What was the time before that?
Indy, I believe. 91 or 92 as well.
Did the teams of the 90s just have letdown games?
Once in a while they did, yes.
I guess when you're that good, you're bound to have a bad day. And I bet, I wasn't here for the 90s Bills, but I bet most, instead of saying I bet, let me ask you this. Do you have a year, a game from that run of those teams that you're still kind of mad about? Like, I can't believe they lost to... Do you have a game that you feel that way about?
From those teams.
Whether you were at the game or you just think they lost to the Eagles or, this is the first team that came to mind.
I do remember.
Because losing would have been so rare, it feels like you would remember.
I do remember them losing to the Jets, and I don't remember if it's that game or not. It has to be that game. I do remember the game. So when you say, do you remember that game? It must have been that one. I remember a game in the 90s where I'm like, how did they just lose at home? To a team that they should have blown out. I guess it had to be that one. It had to be. That 16.5-point favorite game, because there was one in there like that.
We'll see if we get texts on this. Sal Capaccio in for Howard today. Howard's off. Quick headlines. Yankees lost, and the Nationals won. Nationals on to the World Series after a sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals, and Astros take a 2-1 series lead on the Yankees. Marcus Peters traded to Baltimore. Jalen Ramsey traded to the Rams for a pair of first-round picks. So we're seeing a little bit of movement in the NFL. For the Bills, should they load up? We've got a Twitter poll up about that. You can give us a call on whether or not the Bills should approach this as a go-for-it year. And what it is, I guess, can be up to you. Go for the division, go for the AFC, should they go for it? Should they see what they have in this defense and realize, this window might not be open as long as we hope it is? A lot of things can go wrong down the line. A lot of things can go right down the line. Should they go for it? You can check in with us, 803-0550. I want to ask you, how close is Tyler Kroft?
I think judging by Monday, doing individual drills, closer. We'll see. I mean, we've seen these things before where we think guys are getting close. We think they might play, and then they don't. And, you know, Sean McDermott, the one thing he's certainly done is take the long-term approach on injuries. He's taken the marathon view of the season, which is why I would not be shocked if Matt Milano doesn't play this week. I mean, he's coming off a hamstring injury. That's one of those injuries where, you know, you got to be very careful with, quick twitch type of thing. Matt Milano's a good athlete. You want him to be able to run sideline to sideline. If he has any sort of discomfort, if he's not completely healed, they probably will have somebody else, you know, play for him instead. That's the way I would read the situation. Who knows? Maybe he's fine, but he didn't participate with the other players on Monday. He was off to the side working with trainers. But Tyler Kroft could be getting closer. We'll see. And I think the question becomes, how do they integrate him into the active roster? He's on the active roster. He's not on IR. They don't have to make a move. But is he active on game day, and who is he active for? And the fact that they didn't put him on IR tells me they want him active on game day. So to me, he'd be in for probably Tommy Sweeney. I don't think you could take Dawson Knox out at this point, right? And you're not going to take Lee Smith out for his blocking abilities. So to me, it's probably a Kroft for Sweeney type of switch, depending on how he is maybe viewed as that game plan that week. Okay. We'll see this week.
Yeah. It is an issue. Who's the last man dressing right now?
Last man? It's usually the receiver. Probably Isaiah McKenzie. What? I mean, it depends. I would say Zay Jones probably was last week,
right,
the last game. Zay Jones got one snap.
Yeah.
And he was active.
Kroft could just take that spot.
If Devin Singletary had played the last game, I thought about this. Who would have been inactive? I think it might have been Zay Jones, given the fact he had one offensive snap. I don't think it would have been for a running back. It probably would have been for Zay Jones. I don't know, though. But, I mean, that just would have made sense the way that worked out.
It's one of the things that we don't yet know. I mean, Kroft was definitely a target for them in free agency. He has not yet been a target in the offense. You know, what kind of dynamic addition would he be, if any? He's been good when he's been healthy. He's just not stayed healthy. Not in Cincinnati, not here. So that's one thing to be on the lookout for. And then Robert Foster.
I wonder if he gets more involved in the offense. One of the things I said the other day when I did my How did I phrase it? Super smart Sal versus stupid Sal, which is things that I thought would be right in our things that I thought would happen that I was wrong about. One of them was, like a lot of you, I thought Robert Foster would be a bigger part of this offense. He has not been a bigger part of this offense, and I wonder what happens going forward with that. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that they would move on from him. I think more than anything, the chances are he becomes more of a part of the offense. I think he's going to trend that way more than the other way, because they just haven't. And they haven't, what did we talk about earlier? They haven't thrown the deep ball a lot. I think that's the next element of this offense that we're missing, and that's the guy that can maybe get that going a little bit.
He was a big part of their second half of the season last year.
I know.
Big
His rapport with Josh. But you know, I mean, it's tough for him to get on the field with what John Brown is able to do. You're not going to put him on the field for John Brown. He's not going to play for Cole Beasley for what he's able to do. So you got to find snaps and reps for him. I'm interested in what Duke Williams can bring to the table. I like Andre Roberts as a guy that can catch the ball and do some things with it in his hands. And by the way, another thing to look for today, just saying, Ray McLeod was let go by the Panthers, and the Bills did invest a draft pick in him. They moved out from him. He's one of the last, I would say, guys to get cut, and the way all that shook out. I just wonder if the Bills say, you know what? If he clears waivers, maybe bring him back on the practice squad just to have a guy that's familiar with their system in case you need a body later.
803-0550. Should the Bills be adding and going for it? I'm going to bring up a point about Duke Williams in a minute. First, we'll go to Bill, though. Bill, good morning.
Yes, good morning, boys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Bill.
Yeah, so you have been talking about what the Bills should be targeting here as far as on the offensive side of the football, obviously. But how long would it take to build a rapport with Josh Allen if they ought to bring another wide receiver in? And like you were saying, John Brown and Cole Beasley have certain spots and skill sets that the Bills need. If y'all were thinking of a certain player outside of the Stephon Diggs talk, I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
Bill. I get a lot of people. In fact, someone just tweeted me about Mohamed Sanu. He's a slot guy. I don't know where you're gonna put him.
If I'm making a trade for a receiver, it's not a over the middle possession guy.
He's a bigger guy.
He is.
He plays a lot in the slot, and I just don't know if that's where you're going to put him here.
He's been second fiddle to Julio for a long time, second and third fiddle with Calvin Ridley going there too. You know, I want whatever the Bills can build however they want to. I've wanted them to get a stud receiver for a long time. The fact let's go back to the Antonio Brown thing very quickly, not the drama about it, but what did it say that they thought it was worth exploring getting a weapon of that caliber on this offense? You know, say what you will about the other stuff. Who, it wasn't a tackle that they were thinking about or kicking the tires on or doing due diligence on. It was the best receiver, one of the best receivers in football. So to me, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone to go with Josh Allen, you know, the guy he's going to ride with for the next 6, 7, 8 years. Stephon Diggs is the best name I've heard. I don't know who else is available. Sometimes people bring up Julio Jones. His name was mentioned maybe 2 years ago by the Falcons. They just re-signed him. I just don't know why they trade him unless they decide it's a total teardown because they are 1-5. But it still strikes me as not the right decision. Their problems, the Falcons' problems, aren't on offense. Their problems are on defense. You tear apart a whole team just to try and fix your defense, or do you just, you know, spend some money there and go that way? So I'm looking for that, though. I'm looking for Julio, Stephon Diggs, a true number one. And the idea of Sanu, it just feels like I keep piecing together number twos and hoping to get that number one. This brings me to the Duke Williams point. You know, at one point in the offseason, Duke Williams was on the minds and on the lips of a lot of Bills fans saying, we don't need to trade for a receiver. Duke Williams is our future number one. And I've been skeptical of his ability to contribute for this team since they signed him, just because it's not often you get a guy from the CFL who comes to you and is just, boom, a star. He's done well. You know, he's I'll be honest, he's probably already exceeded my expectations. I expected nothing, just because CFL doesn't often give you much. To say don't trade for a receiver, let Duke grow, I'm just slow on that one too. I'm gonna continue to be slow on Duke Williams developing into some household name around the league. Very slow to buy into that idea. But I like that he's here. And I hope that they can involve him a little bit more. This week could be a huge week for him. I mean, it could be a huge week for everybody.
Well, I agree with that. And the way I laid it out the other day when I wrote about things I thought about on vacation is he's not a guy that a defense is going to have to concentrate on that changes your game. But what he does is he gives you a different element that might open up some other things for other guys, right? I mean, he is a bigger-bodied guy. And when he's on the field, you do have to respect the fact that he can block in the run game, and maybe teams have to creep up a little bit, and that gives John Brown a little bit more of an ability to get down the field. I think that's what Duke Williams does for you. Duke Williams moves other guys maybe into a situation where they could take advantage of things the way the defense has to play them. Again, not because the defense is like, hey, there's Duke Williams, but hey, if he's on the field, you have to be aware. It could be a run, could be a pass. He's a bigger guy. How do we match up with him? And maybe that allows John Brown, Cole Beasley to do some other things. The one thing I always said about Zay Jones, I was never a Zay Jones hater. I like Zay Jones, but he never did anything special. He didn't have a special trait. Duke Williams has a special trait. He's big, and he can high point a ball, and he can block. Like, those are things that he can do that stand out amongst the receiving core that they don't have. So other teams have to be aware of that when he's on the field. Zay Jones was just a guy. He was a pretty good blocker.
Yeah, he always struck me as just
a guy.
A guy in the league.
That's right. And Duke Williams is pretty much a guy in the league, but he at least has something that when he's on the field, a defensive coordinator says, hey, by the way, when he's on the field, here's what he can do. And that forces you at least to think a little bit on defense.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I want to place all of the prop bets on the Bills this week against the Dolphins. I am looking ahead to next week. The game will be over in the first quarter. I'm high on the Bills this week. 16.5-point favorites. 803-0550 to join us. Whine a line on the way. I'll find something to whine about. We'll go through my all day long. I go through Twitter and favorite things and think I'll whine about that later. Yeah, I'll whine about that later. So I'll see what I find when I get back. 803-0550. Jeremy White, Sal Capaccio on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it really becomes next man up. We're all hoping that he can make it back for this next ball game. But it also means guys like Maurice Alexander, hopefully Corey Thompson will be back in the mix. Those guys will get a chance. Of course, it may increase Lorenzo Alexander's reps as well. But, I mean, that will be the mindset, next man up.
Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier.
You know what the games are that people are tweeting in about, the 90s teams?
Yeah.
The Monday night games.
It's funny. A lot of the texts and tweets I got are about a Steelers Monday night game.
Oh, they got destroyed a couple of times by the Steelers and at Kansas City on a Monday night. They got destroyed by the Steelers on Monday night. Like guys were getting injured, pick sixes. It was just awful to go to Pittsburgh on a Monday night during those years. The Bills just could not do that and win games.
Was this a team?
Thurman, what happened? Call and tell me. What was the problem?
Yeah, there weren't a lot of losses, so we started talking about this earlier. If you want to hear it, you can rewind it on the radio.com app. Now there's a rewind feature. So if you missed anything, like an interview, or we're talking about something, if you missed it, you rewind and catch up with radio.com rewind. Open up the radio.com app, update it, make sure you got the latest version, and I think you'll like it. It's pretty cool. It's useful. So we've mentioned this a few times. When we say something, you say, what? I can't believe he just said that. And you rewind and listen again and think, yeah, of course. Oh, my God, that's the smartest thing I've ever heard. See, you thought I was going to go the other way. So radio.com rewind if you want to check that out.
By the way, just be aware, too, there's more stuff coming out with this that we're going to be rolling out. It's going to be really cool for people.
Oh, really?
Cool features, yeah.
Maybe I don't know about those features.
You know, you could find a spot maybe where somebody said something and then instantly go to it and tell people about it. And yeah, so.
Not bad.
Stuff like that.
You got anything to whine about? The Astros, anything?
To whine about? What do I want to whine about? No, I think I'm pretty good. I haven't even thought about any whining.
That's the bye week, you know. It's been a while.
I'm whining about the weather turning so drastically bad today.
It's
going to turn like 10 degrees cooler than it is now and rain, but it's going to get better for the weekend. We'll be in the 60s for the game, I think.
It's been a really nice couple of weeks, and you know, today looks like not that nice. And if anybody comes at the weather this time of year, I feel personally attacked.
I know.
It's funny. My wife and I, where were we? We were outside recently. It wasn't for a Bills game, but we were hanging out, maybe down by the water. Anyway, it's not important. I said to her as we're walking, I said, you know, I'm a little cold, but I wish I had another layer, but I like that, which doesn't make any sense. I would prefer to be wearing more, but I like the feeling of being that little bit cold.
I get it.
And I also told her.
You're a football guy.
I am.
So that's why.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So I wanted to talk to you about this. I need a favor from you.
Okay.
Wrap the segment. A favor from you. Whenever you get a chance, you don't actually have to do this. But, you know, we come back from break and we'll play Peter Schrager saying, I think the Bills are amazing. And Bills fans are like, yeah, cool. I like that. Or Kyle Brandt. Or anybody saying nice things about the Bills. What I need from you is the Bills saying nice things about fall. Just come back from break and have Josh Allen be like, I'll tell you, I love this time of year, man. You know, the temperature, the electric and cider. And then the next break, it's Micah Hyde coming back talking, oh, man, the fall's the best. So for fall, we just pump fall all the time by football players saying they love fall because they definitely love fall.
They definitely love fall, especially if they grew up in the Midwest, Northeast.
Playing football,
the smell of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I can still imagine the smell of like the Pop Warner fields when I was a kid and the leaves, and you're like, ooh, yeah, we got a game here at 10 a.m. This is going to be really nice and crisp.
Not to be the least bit morbid, but I was also telling my wife, you know, people talk about when I die, spread my ashes at the stadium or spread my ashes here and there. And I said, it was a beautiful day. Maybe Saturday was the day. I said, when I go, you wait until a day like this.
and
just
do it.
Just Wherever you want. Just want to be in this kind of day. It's just my favorite time of year by a mile. Happy fall today.
Hey, we're going to have
today,
Eric Wood on at about 9:15 this morning. Eric has a really cool annual event that he does called Flights and Bites. That's coming up next week. But, of course, going to talk Bills with Eric Wood, my colleague on the radio side of things with the Bills broadcast. And, of course, he is an ACC Network commentator. So, I have some college football questions.
All right. Very good. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Eric Wood on the way in the 9 o'clock hour. When we get back, we'll talk about this Bills offense, and I'm going to ask Sal, have we even really seen it yet? There's a lot of reasons to think maybe we haven't. Get to that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.